Hi, my name is Skip Roy. I'm a physical therapist. Worked in acute hospital settings for over 52 years. Also been a member of CMDA for a number of years. And being a member of CMDA has had several benefits in my life and practice. First, CMDA advocates for causes that I really believe are important. Opposition to abortion, support of rights of conscience, and other things that allow me as a Christian healthcare professional to practice consistent with my faith. Second, the CMDA Learning Center is extremely valuable with lots of continuing medical education courses that are relevant to me as a Christian healthcare professional, improving my skills and practice. And finally, I belong to the rehab section of CMDA and get to interface with other Christian rehab healthcare professionals, praying with them and learning how they share and incorporate their faith into their practice, and that helps me with mine. So as you can tell, CMDA has been an extremely important part of my life as a Christian and a Christian healthcare professional for all the reasons I mentioned. I would strongly encourage you to consider being a part of CMDA and the incredible ministry that it provides for all of us as Christian healthcare professionals.
Welcome back to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, and today I have a guest who shares with us a powerful testimony that God is at work changing hearts in healthcare. You know, that's our motto, our ministry battle cry, if you will. I've sometimes heard Christian leaders say something provocative like, "Hey, we serve a pro-choice God." And I think what they're getting at is illustrated when Joshua challenges the children of Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Well, my guest today is Dr. Patty Giebink, who is releasing her life story in a new book published through Focus on the Family Publishing with the title, "Unexpected Choice: An Abortion Doctor's Journey to Pro-Life." Dr. Giebink grew up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, one of seven siblings. After attending graduate school for sports and exercise physiology, and then working for a time in San Francisco, Patty came back to South Dakota for medical school and then did her residency in OBGYN in Indianapolis at Indiana University Medical Center. In 1991, she returned to Sioux Falls and worked in a private practice in OBGYN. And then, in 1995, Patty began to work with Planned Parenthood once a week there in Sioux Falls. In September of 1996, she actually closed her private practice to work full-time at Planned Parenthood for a whole year. She performed countless abortions. You are going to hear today how that employment was suddenly terminated at the end of what she describes as the most difficult year of her life. Dr. Giebink has lived and worked in Chamberlain, South Dakota for the last 20 years, mostly doing OB hospital call, but she's also been going overseas to work in mission hospitals and medical camps. You're going to hear today the powerful story of redemption and reconciliation as God's Spirit transformed the heart and mind of an abortionist named Patty Giebink, making something beautiful out of the broken pieces of her life. Well, Dr. Giebink, our listeners just heard me go through a bio and explain a little bit of your background and your story. Did you grow up in a Christian home, and was faith a factor at all in your growing up years?
I went to Sunday school at Baptist church in our neighborhood. And basically my mom would take us and drop us off for Sunday school and pick us up when it was done. And perhaps my mom went to church on Christmas or Easter, but she was not a regular church goer. I once asked her about that because I have her Bible from when she was growing up. So I know that she had some background, but she said, when so many of her classmates from high school didn't come back from the war, she basically lost her faith. But she was faithful about taking us to Sunday school. And so all during grade school, junior high, high school, I was involved with Sunday school and youth group. As an adult, not so much. And then I kind of started going down the New Age road. And that's kind of what I was doing until 2001, when truly God directed me to a small church in my small town that I had just moved to. Didn't know anybody in the church. I didn't know what Pentecostal meant. I had no idea. But I knew I was supposed to show up at this church, and I did. And I was captivated. I could not go to church. And I didn't know anybody in this church. Mm-hmm. And it was through going to church, and we had a young pastor, and for some reason, what he said was just like a laser to my heart. And he also had a short class for new believers. And there was another woman about my age that was kind of on the same road. And so we were in the class. And then the two of us decided to start a Bible study, a phone Bible study, because she lived on a ranch and we knew we wouldn't be able to meet. So during the week, and neither of us had a real job at the time. So every morning, probably 5 out of 6 mornings, one of us would call the other at 7 a.m. and we would go through this sort of manuscript Bible study out of Florida that she had access to. We did that for over a year and a half. And through these questions and talking about somebody that was like me and just having such a hunger for the word. And I'd wanted to read the Bible before, but I couldn't. It just made no sense to me. But all of a sudden, God opened my eyes. And at some point, I just knew that God was a God of life. There were a couple of things that, I mean, God's character comes out if you read the Bible and you understand what you're reading.
Yes.
But that was long before. That was still a few years before I actually, you might say, came out having switched sides, which was very dramatic. It was on a short TV spot for a campaign called Vote Yes for Life. And there's about 5 years from when I started going to that church until I, you know, ended up doing that TV spot, which was really a surprise to me as well. But even when I first started going to this little church, I considered myself pro-choice. You know, I still had my pro-choice friends. I hadn't done any abortions for over 5 years and was working at the local hospital, the rural hospital here, where I've worked off and on for 20 some years, sometimes full time, sometimes part time. And now I quit 2 years ago so I could write this book. But really, I remember when I was doing abortions for Planned Parenthood, and I worked for them for, I just figured it out, 31 months, mostly as part time, where I had my own private practice and I would do OBGYN. One day I'd be delivering babies, and then one day a week I would go to Planned Parenthood, and they would have what they called an abortion day because they didn't do abortions every day. They would have to bring in nurses, and now they fly in a doctor from Minnesota or Pennsylvania on abortion day. So then I would do a day of abortions, and then I would go back to my OB practice. I ended up working full-time for a year. And it was an awful year. It was just awful. It was one of the worst years of my life, not even considering that what I was doing was anti-God that I know now, but just the chaos in the clinic was unbelievable. We broke the law. We had other things happen. It was not a good year. And then at the end, they fired me. And when they fired me, I felt such a relief. I think part of it was financial. I think part of it was we just didn't get along. When I accidentally, unknowingly did an abortion on a minor just after the parental notification had become a law, I didn't know it because that wasn't part of my thing to get the consent. And when it was discovered by the nurse in recovery, and she told the clinic manager, and the clinic manager called the regional director, and he said, above everything, don't tell Dr. Giebink. And of course, one of the nurses the next day said something to me about, what about that patient? And I said, what patient? And I found out that we had unknowingly first minor to come through after the law went into effect, and we missed it. And the regional director was more concerned about not telling me. And I was livid. I said, you know, I'm the one going to prison. We broke the law. We blatantly broke the law. And the law says I go to prison, not the regional director. And he said, well, they'd have to prove that you did it intentionally. And I said, I should have known her age, but there's such a pressure to do more procedures, do more patients. You know, it's kind of an assembly line. And I didn't really look at the age. It wasn't staring me in the face on the chart. So that really, I knew that they would not protect me, that there was no protection for me in the system.
Going back into your training years and then the early years after you finished training, what lies about human life and abortion did you believe at that time? And what led to you questioning those lies?
Well, I was reading Bernard Nathanson's book, The Hand of God, and he recants everything. And he goes back, he says, we wanted to pass Roe v. Wade. And I had already researched Roe v. Wade when I was on the pro-choice side considerably. And he said, we knew that we had to fabricate numbers in order to get public support. And I just remember the number that he said, you know, X number of women are dying from illegal abortions per year. And so I totally believed that I was saving women's lives. So I read his book, The Hand of God. When I got to that point, that was perhaps my aha moment. I went, wow, what I believed was a lie.
You spend a fair amount of time, especially at the end of your book, talking about what got through to you and what didn't get through to you. So what recommendations would you make for physicians and others today on how to interact with and make a difference in the lives of those who are providing abortion services, to reconsider their position, to think about it, and maybe follow the same path and journey that you did to come out of the abortion industry?
I know so much doesn't work. I think in our polarized society, we all need to learn how to communicate better. I'm really trying to learn a new way of communication where instead of just telling people, you know, to learn to ask questions, to ask the right question at the right time, and then to listen for the answer. So I think we need to be better listeners. I need to be a better listener. We need to meet people where they are. We can't lecture or proselytize. We need to be real with people and let them be real with us and find some common ground. I think I tell the story in the book. I was working at Planned Parenthood in the days we didn't do abortions. I would do ultrasounds and GYN exams and all kinds of things. And one day I was going into the ultrasound room to scan a pregnant patient. I walked in the room, saw her belly, and realized she's at least 20 weeks. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, that's a baby. You know, I'm an OB doctor above everything else. And so I went ahead and I scanned her and I got the numbers and I told her, I said, you know, I think, well, you're way too far for South Dakota. And I said, I don't even know anybody in the area. I think I got her at 24 and a half weeks. I don't know if I know anybody in South Dakota for sure. I don't even know if there's anybody in Nebraska. And she was so flippant, it just broke my heart. And she said, well, I have an appointment in Kansas, and as long as I'm not 25 weeks, I got her at 24 and a half weeks. As long as I'm not 25 weeks, they'll do the abortion. And all I could think of was, if I would have known that ahead of time, I would have tweaked the numbers and made her, you know, 25 weeks in one day or something. Because to me, that's a baby. So to an OB doc, when it's a baby, it's a baby. I think we tend to isolate ourselves. We want to be like people like us. You know, we're church people, we're pro-life. You know, we tend to just surround ourselves with people that are just like us. Instead, I think we need to reach out to other people. When I was in Sioux Falls, I knew there was one internal medicine doc, and I kept trying to, she was technically my doctor, although I never saw her, because the two times I got sick and ended up in the ER, her partner, who was very much not pro-choice, would see me, and she just treated me fine. And finally I said, you know what, can I just be your patient? Because it appears that you're the person I'm going to see. I only knew that she was pro-life from studying lists of who's pro-choice and who's pro-life. So I ended up going to her, and I never felt like she looked down on me or felt I was wrong or anything. She just treated me like she would any patient. So I think we need to do that with other people. Even if you just have to talk about the weather, say something to people that think differently and try not to argue. Because until they know Jesus in their heart, they're probably not going to get it.
And you share about a physician that was a strong Christian who treated you with respect. And in, as you look back on that, that had an impact on you, you share in your book.
It was huge. I worked with her from 2004 to 2008, and then she moved to Florida. Strong, pro-life, Catholic. And every time we went to a medical meeting, she was just kindly and gently and very not in your face ways would just be firm about her position. And I thought, wow, I mean, this is worth standing up for.
I was in tears in several places in your book, especially the story that really touched my heart big time, Patty, was your testimony for a couple of minutes on God TV at the Titan Stadium and just repenting on behalf of physicians who had done abortion over the years. Can you just tell our listeners what that was like to be almost down on your knees praying before Almighty God? It wasn't a long time, but while it was in front of a large audience, as I understand it.
There's quite a story behind that. To be around a lot of the big names in religion, you know, Dutch Sheets, Lou Engel, Mike Bickle. I mean, there was just a whole bunch. And I was preceded on the stage by Sam Brownback. And I kind of think of my life as sort of pre-777 and post-777, because that's when God really did a deep healing in my soul. And the way it went out, Kathy Harris was a woman who was repenting for women who had had abortions. And then I was repenting for abortion providers. And then after me was Will Ford, who was repenting for men who had paid for their girlfriend's abortions. And we're all on the stage at the same time. And Kathy's going first and I'm behind her. And we're just kind of standing, praying for her. And all of a sudden, I just felt this huge weight pushing me face down and onto the stage. My glasses went flying off, and all I could do was sob. And I was just sobbing. And I was so surprised because I had no idea. This was not in my game plan. When Kathy was done, Lou Engel picked me up and handed me a microphone, didn't even introduce me. And so I was just sobbing in front of 70,000 people at Titan Stadium and 2 million worldwide on God TV. And I'm just sobbing, and I just couldn't even talk. And then one guy in the audience said, "We love you, Patty." And then a bunch of other people joined in. And I finally finished what I was going to say. And then Cindy Jacob comes over and wraps her arms around me. And I have to start sobbing again, because she says, on behalf of all the mothers and grandmothers who will never be able to hold their children, we forgive you. I mean, that was so powerful. The whole thing, I have goosebumps right now. The amazing thing is that God just really healed me and changed my face.
At the end of your book, you write, "Abortion is not the panacea we originally thought it was. There are no longer any noble reasons for resorting to it, and we now recognize the risks and residual effects that abortion creates. It's been several decades since Roe v. Wade was passed. It's time that we acknowledge a new dawn, and in the light of that rising sun, we can offer options, support, and encouragement to women who are confused about the direction they should go. It's been a delight to have you on CMDA Matters today. I just pray for great influence that you will have, Dr. Giemek, in the kingdom, and will save many unborn lives because of your testimony, your willingness to be honest about your past, and to follow God's Spirit leading in the future.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, if you'd like to get your own copy of Dr. Giemek's new book, it is coming out July the 6th, and we have them on order, and so you'll be able to get them from cmda.org/store or by calling 888-230-2637 today. It's called Unexpected Choice, An Abortion Doctor's Journey to Pro-Life. Well, there's a story in that book that really moved me, and Patty didn't have time to talk about in this interview, and it illustrates the power of prayer to change hearts and lives as Patty tells how a Catholic sister named Josita read a newspaper article about Patty when she started working at Planned Parenthood. And in that article, she mentioned that it was really not her wish to do abortions full time. Sister Josita felt it was a sign that Patty might be on the fence regarding abortion. And so Josita prayed that God would push Patty off that fence and into the pro-life camp. It was in 2006, after 10 years of regular prayer by Josita, that she saw Dr. Giemek on TV for the first time speaking up about the right to life for unborn babies and recognized that God had heard her cries for the unborn. It was not long after that that Patty and Sister Josita had a wonderful reunion in a restaurant, and Patty wept over Josita's intervention on her behalf. Well, if you'd like more personal stories about abortion, consider checking out another book called Supremely Wrong, The Injustice of Abortion by Dr. Brent Bowles, whom some of you may recall was my guest on CMDA Matters several months ago. Brent shared his personal experience with his own wife's abortion back in college and the regret that they have both worked through as a result. An incredibly transparent and powerful testimony, just as Patty's was. Another God story, I think, of forgiveness and restoration. I'd like to encourage you to go back and listen to Brent's personal testimony on CMDA Matters, on your podcast app, or on our CMDA website. You can get a copy of his book at cmda.org/store or just by calling 888-230-2637 today. You know, we're very close to the end of our fiscal year 2021. And so today, it's my privilege to welcome George Courtney, who's our Vice President for Stewardship and Legacy Giving, here into the studio today.
Thanks, Mike. What a privilege to be with you. I certainly enjoy listening to CMDA Matters, and now it's quite a joy for me to be here with you today.
Thanks, George. Would you take a moment and just share an update on our stewardship ministry at this critical time?
In the stewardship ministry, our mission is to equip and inspire faithful stewards. We credit this passion that our team shares to the Apostle Paul. Paul appeals to Christians to live in a way which reflects the grace we've been given by God. We have the privilege to help fund the gospel to go out to God's children. I guess you could say that we don't really see ourselves as fundraisers. We see ourselves as facilitators of the gospel. What a wonderful calling that God has given us in stewardship. Now we find ourselves in the midst of our fiscal year end, and it's again a season of generosity. We've had a handful of donors come to CMDA and say, here, we want to be a part of a matching gift and encourage others to step up and be a part of it and experience the joy that we experience when we give. And they've provided a $250,000 matching gift to help get us as far as they could towards our $700,000 goal for May and June. And then, you know what? June 8th came.
June 8th. So tell us what's so significant about June 8th.
We received some gifts that day in the mail, and it took us over the top. And we just rejoice that here, 22 days ahead of schedule, God was faithful, came in and helped us claim all of the $500,000, the $250,000 from the challenge matching gift, and $250,000 from individuals saying, I want to be a part of that. So we are well on our way to fulfilling our goal of $700,000 here at year end.
Well, as you shared, I was thinking about the generosity that sometimes we experience from folks who will not allow themselves to be known. They give anonymously. Just last week, I think we received a very generous gift from an anonymous donor. And I came to you, we wanted to say thank you to the family who gave this gift. So I hope that that individual and other individuals who've given anonymously know how much we appreciate their generosity today. Well, thanks, George, for sharing this update today. How can someone listening today get in touch with a member of your stewardship team?
There are a couple ways folks can be in touch with us in the stewardship ministry. One of those is to call us here at CMDA at 888-230-2637 or by email at stewardship@cmda.org. If you need help with your estate or some legacy planning, please ask for Paul when you call. He looks forward to talking with you.
George Courtney and his team in stewardship have done such a great job, and the work has been blessed by God in ways that I could not have imagined in my second year leading this 90-year-old organization, as I said earlier, focused on changing hearts in healthcare. Have you received your copy of Our Bodies Tell God's Story? Dr. Christopher West has dedicated his life to teaching and promoting what is called the theology of the body, which he shared with us on CMDA Matters in early May. You can find that interview and many others on a wide range of topics that impact Christians in healthcare at cmda.org/cmda-matters. We look forward to sending you a copy of Christopher West's newest book with your donation of any amount to CMDA. Just click on the Book of the Month link in the show notes or go to cmda.org/Book of the Month, one word. Well, I want to ask you, what does the process of evangelism in its various stages look like in a medical or dental setting when the Holy Spirit creates an opportunity to communicate the gospel to one of our patients? How can we do that respectfully and compassionately? Dr. Kathy Scarborough, a physician and residency faculty member from Gadsden, Alabama, describes for us now how sharing the gospel to our patients can be a very natural process.
Fear is not dispelled. It doesn't go away by having a storehouse of answers, by knowing it all, or just thinking like, okay, well, like if I knew more, if I did one more Bible study, if I did a year of seminary, I'd be ready to share the gospel with my patients. No, it doesn't really go away like that. Fear is dispelled by having a right attitude towards the Lord.
Check out Faith Prescriptions on the CMDA Learning Center. And we're praying that God will use this training program as a centerpiece in our CMDA efforts to help you integrate your faith every single day into your practice. I just hope all of you listening, our members, will take advantage of this material to develop confidence in integrating your faith into your daily healthcare practice. You can just go to cmda.org/learning. And if you're not a member, I want to encourage you to become a member today so that this resource will be available to you 24/7 with more than 80 hours of Category 1 CE credit
on a wide range of topics, absolutely free. Well, if you join us at CMDA with an increasing concern about the direction our culture is moving, particularly in the area of religious freedom and healthcare right of conscience, I have good news for you. CMDA's advocacy team is working hard to protect life and defend the right of, and yes, the very duty of conscience in caring for those made in God's image. I'd like to invite you to participate August 6th and 7th as CMDA will host the Voice of Christian Doctors media training. This two-day training, which I went through in my early days here in Bristol and incredibly helpful to me, will help teach you how to be an effective public square ambassador for ethically and biblically consistent patient care. You'll learn how to be interviewed by the media and allow your voice to be heard in your state's legislature. The culture needs to hear from Christian healthcare professionals now more than ever. So don't miss out on this opportunity. This is our first announcement regarding the annual Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ Conference that will be held this year, September 30th through October 3rd, 2021, at the Amway Grand Plaza in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Each year, this conference is growing. They invite many great speakers, and it's always a challenge and an inspiration and encouragement to this wonderful body of believers, women in healthcare. So don't miss it. You can find out a whole lot more information and register for these events I've been mentioning at cmda.org/events, or you can find links in the show notes today. At CMDA, we know that a culture of life, an abundant and flourishing life, is at the very heart of Christ's teachings, and it should matter to every single child of God serving in healthcare, like you. It's so important to CMDA that we have ramped up our advocacy team's efforts to promote life-affirming laws and policies that are going through state legislatures during this time that has been called the Age of American Despair, with the highest rates of suicide as well as drug and alcohol-related deaths in over a century. We will continue to work with followers of Christ in healthcare to promote life and respect the incredible truth that every single patient who comes under our care reflects the Imago Dei, God's image. We are convinced that it matters to you, and so it matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Thanks for listening today. Please join us next Thursday for a very special episode of CMDA Matters featuring Dr. James Markham as he shares with us the ultimate physician's plan for health and healing, which he strongly believes includes teaching our patients how to worship God. Don't miss it. We'll be back next week, Jehovah willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.